The Hall of Famer, Mr. Molitor, is with us. Like all our guests, he's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Paul was on the last road trip. He's been a part of a number of radio broadcasts this year with Chris Atterbury. Among the points I enjoyed, sir, is when Chris asked you about the duck boats in Boston, and you said, yeah, about the first 15 minutes I liked it, and then I wanted to be done. There's a lot of things we've all done in different towns where I got to do it. And sometimes it's an amazing experience, and other times you're just like, okay, can I get off now? Can I just say I did this? Can I move on at this point?
Hey, good afternoon to you, Chad. I think that the duck boat falls into that category.
Yes.
You know, I was out biking today down by the river and come back by the falls and through the lakes. And those four bicycle pedal things that they have down there by the
yes.
falls,
yeah,
that's another one. That's good for about the first 2 minutes, I think so.
Okay, how much do you bike? If you're going to exercise now, you've always stayed in good shape. What is biking a key part of that? What else?
It is for me. I can't do the running anymore. I'm getting too old, and these aren't good enough. I like to get out. We have beautiful trails here as long as the weather cooperates. You know, when I used to play, Chad, if I can remember back that far, I used to train for the win. Now I'm just training for the tie, right? Just trying to break even. So
That's pretty.
But
okay.
I like to get out for a good, 20, 25 mile ride.
Oh.
Pretty much every day when I'm home.
And you bring what, four or five people? Security? Is that the normal? We've been so dry in September. It's been glorious. Is Minnehaha Falls running a little slower? Or how is it?
It was gushing earlier in the summer with all the torrential rains that we endured. But, no, it's still flowing pretty good. I think we got a pretty good backup supply from all the rain we received earlier in the summer. Yeah. I have seen it bone dry over the last couple of years a couple of times when we went through some of the droughts.
Yeah, I brought Quint in there one time, and I went, let's go somewhere else, Quint. I saw it. I go, not a good decision by your father. Okay.
Plan B.
You've been in this position before. It's the last week. Team's in the race, but the team's not playing well. There's no other way to say that, and there's a lot of reasons, and I heard you make this point during one of the broadcasts also. There's clearly stress. There's tightness. You can say you're going to avoid that, but when you went from there's a four-month stretch this year where they were the best team in baseball, and now they've dropped 21 of their last 32. How do you, as a player, try to fight through that? And as a manager, when you were around guys and you knew they weren't reaching their maximum, and part of it was they just looked like they were gripping that bat like they were going to try to break it in half,
sure.
How did you try to help them?
Well, first I'll say that different mindsets of different teams at different times. Trying to protect the lead like the Twins have been for the last month as it's kind of gradually begin to slip away, that adds a whole other dimension to the mental, how the state of your team and how guys are dealing with it. You look at the Tigers, they were basically done. 3-4 weeks ago, and they're just going about it, just trying to have some fun, and this is all gravy for them. They're winning today again. I was watching Scooble pitch a little bit earlier, and he looks dominating. But I think as a manager and coaches, you do need to employ your veteran players, that there has to be things that break the tension. I was actually encouraged the other night when they won the game in Boston on Friday, really a game they had no business winning. They had some great relief appearances late in that game. But Trevor Larner came on and was talking about how much fun it was. And I just wish that feeling would permeate that clubhouse a little bit more, because when you're in there before the game and after some of these tough losses, even the bus ride and the airplane home from Boston the other night, it's almost palpable that you can feel that there's something about getting something when you're climbing up towards it as opposed to protecting somebody from trying to take it away from you.
Yeah, we should update the Tiger. Scooble was he was him, right? He's going to probably be unanimous Cy Young Award winner. 7 innings, 2 hits. Tigers leading in the top of the 8th at home against Tampa, 2-0. Okay, let's say tonight is the night they break out. Marlins aren't very good. Let's say they win the game like 7-2. They score a bunch of runs. Is one game enough to put that in the past, or what do you need to do when there's only 6 games left in the regular season?
Yeah, well, a couple of thoughts on that. September is a really long month in terms of the roller coaster of what can happen when you're in a battle for a playoff position. I thought some of these games that we won in the last 10 days, even though there hasn't been many, might have been a way to kind of start to turn the energy around, if nothing else. So I think any win could help. I think we're going to see, you know, this week, things can change in a hurry. I mean, you win one day and a couple of clubs lose, or you lose and they win. Even though there's only six games left, I don't think we're done with seeing a little bit of juggling as who's going to be the playoff team come Sunday.
Paul, I've mentioned this a couple times, once yesterday and once today, promoting your appearance. I think this is just one of the more stunning three-game series stats I've heard at Fenway Park in a long, long time, that the Twins had 25 hits, and one hit was an extra base. That just doesn't even seem possible to me.
Yeah, I think the one hit was Royce Lewis's ball that came within inches of being a home run, right?
Yep.
While Boston seemingly was putting up four or five extra base hits in each of the three games that we played. It's kind of a collective thing. You know, you can go individual by individual or look at the team collectively. I just see guys trying to, you know, a lot of our guys are in pull, try to hit a homer mode, and situations are calling for them to try to get a base hit to keep the line moving. We did have that one rally where we strung together four consecutive hits in that game on Sunday before the roof caved in for us in the second half of that ball game. You know, I really thought the big question heading into September, how are these three rookie pitchers going to hold up in a pennant race? And they've done okay.
Yes.
You know, for the most part, games they've pitched, we've been in the games midway through till Rocco has to pull the trigger and start going to the bullpen. But, yeah, offensively, to only get one extra base hit in Fenway, even with conditions, it was cold, it was damp, it was windy, the wind was kind of wasn't conducive for hitting home runs, even though they had somebody that hit three in one game. It's an offensive park for the most part, and we just didn't take advantage.
Yeah, and listening again, it was so cold that you were stealing sweatshirts from the clubhouse. That's what I
rarely underpack, Chad, but I did not see that type of conditions coming. So I had to dip into Hot Rod, the clubhouse manager's trunk, for a little extra sweatshirt hoodie there for those couple of games.
I'm sure an expensive receipt is coming your way. Okay, let's talk Royce. You know, Royce was rightfully so receiving a lot of praise. And this has been an extended stretch now, Molly, where he's hitting 220. What are pitchers doing differently to him now that they weren't doing earlier in the season?
Well, and also, what is Royce doing that he wasn't doing before, regardless of who's pitching? And I hate to single out one guy because there's a lot of guys that just haven't had good Septembers. The one thing I think, he's used to being able to carry a team, and he's done it in his brief career at times. But I see a lot of predetermined swings. First pitch of an at-bat, you know, he'll just be up there just hoping he gets some type of hanging breaking ball or something, and he'll swing and he'll put himself in a hole on a pitch that's, you know, 10 inches outside. And when he's going well, if you can remember back to the Toronto playoff series, he hit a couple of home runs right out of the gate, but one was to right field.
Yeah,
I can't remember the last time Royce has hit a ball to the right side of second base with some authority. So a little bit of a pull mode for him for sure, and just maybe trying to do too much and let the game come to him to some degree.
Bailey Ober pitching today. He's been very good. He was really good last week. When you watch him, what stands out most to you about how he's turned himself into a very good pitcher this year?
Well, to be honest, I've been pleasantly surprised on how good he has become. A couple of things. His changeup, even when players seem to be looking for it, they still look somewhat foolish when they try to actually swing. And the second thing is, I think he's really mastered the concept that you need to have at the major league level. Very, very much unpredictable in terms of when he's going to use his pitches. He'll throw them all at any time. He has a lot of confidence in that little cutter slider. You mix in a slow curveball. But the changeup and the elevated fastball and the way he commands those two pitches are the biggest reason for his success.
If we include what Shohei has done as a starting pitcher and just the absurd numbers he has put up today, as long as you've been watching ball, is he the best player you've ever witnessed?
He is. You know, I've seen a lot of great players, you know, and obviously I would love to see him do it over a long period of time, and hopefully his health returns and he can get back on the mound. I'm not a big believer that we'll see him out there in October, but
that'd be crazy, yeah, right?
Yeah, and really this season, you know, the 50-50 and all that, if he is starting to pitch again next year, he's not going to run as recklessly as he has this year with kind of disregard for the physical toll of stealing 50 bases.
What, so what if he does? Then he's mythic, right?
Yeah, and it was funny because when he signed the $700 million contract, I think everybody was expecting like maybe $500 million, which, you know, unfathomable numbers, right?
Right.
And now they're going, Dodgers got a deal. You know, I mean, it's just crazy how it's turned out that way.
That's why you're on the bike. I mean, you're thinking, hey, maybe somebody's going to call you. Yeah. All right, well, I appreciate it as always. Hopefully they turn it around. If they turn it around in the playoffs, we'll reach out to you next week and get a little preview of who they're matching up with.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm thinking they need to win at least four games this week, Chad. Definitely it changes day to day, but let's hope they find their mojo here a little bit and find their way into playing some October baseball.
Thanks, my friend. I appreciate it.
All right, Chad. Be well.
He's great. And never, ever forget what a brilliant baseball player Paul was. 50 past 2. Jason from Target Field in moments.